Welcome to Talk Data to Me by Safe Software, the makers of FME.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tiana Warner. With me, I have Jennifer Luther Thomas, and today we're going to talk about containerization. So what even is containerization? Let's start with that. When I first heard of containers, my thought was, okay, well, is it like a zip file? No. Is it like a virtual machine? No, it's somewhere in the middle. It's more than a zip file, but less than a virtual machine. So it's more of just a method of deploying applications.
Yes, it uses the operating system of the machine that the container is deployed on instead of virtualizing an operating system like a virtual machine would.
And you just kind of allocate the necessary resources and pieces of the operating system to a container.
But unlike a virtual machine, where you would tell it, have like 10 gig, it would take that and keep it there in case it needs it. I think Docker, at least on the Mac, it seems to, if you tell it can have 10 gig, it will just take what it needs. It doesn't partition that off and save it.
Yeah, so Docker is a huge one. It was originally made for hosting on Linux distributions, but now you can have Docker for Mac and Docker for Windows.
But not in production. I wouldn't advise using them in production, I think.
Yeah, the Mac and Windows versions pretend to run natively.
Yeah.
So they use a lightweight virtual machine to host the Linux version of the application. You don't actually know this, though. It runs very smoothly. The native Windows containers are coming, though. They're kind of in the early days right now.
Yeah.
And then besides Docker, we can just mention a few others. Before Docker, we had FreeBSD jails and Solaris zones, change root on Unix, OpenVZ, Virtuoso, Turbo. There's quite a few of them.
Okay, I haven't heard of any of those ones.
No.
So.
We use Docker here at Safe. One key feature in Docker that stood out to me is that you can actually have version control. And I think that's unique. You basically can track and revert changes on an entire container.
Well, that's good.
So what's the appeal of containerization?
A few of the good advantages is that it's quick to deploy. Once you want to start up a container, you don't have to sit ages waiting for a virtual machine to start and wait for the operating system to install and then put all your applications on it that you want to run on that virtual machine. With a container, you're basically just pulling down this Docker Compose file. It installs and the application's basically ready to go once that's done. So it's a lot quicker and it's a lot more reproducible too and reliable because everything is going to be set up in that container the exact same way. So you're always going to get the same results when you install or deploy that container. Whereas with a virtual machine, you might change the specifications if you're trying to reproduce it. If you've got different people installing applications on there, they might miss a step or do it slightly differently.
I think that's a good thing for developers is that they can just package an application with everything it needs and then ship it all together. And then system administrators as well, it's easier for them to deploy and run applications. They don't need to have so many different systems. You just put all the services onto one server and then make separate containers.
For big companies that are using Docker, so I was having a look online and I was watching a presentation that Spotify gave that they've adapted Docker now. Spotify is like global, so I was using Spotify in the UK, I've come over to Canada, it's still here, and there's just so many things you can do on Spotify, like the amount of music they've got. And apparently this is all powered by microservices, and then they've got these microservices like all over the world set up. Before, they would have to get these machines, set it all up on those machines, and then make sure that all the machines were like in the same state across everywhere they've deployed them. And then you would get engineers go on the machines to run updates, and they might do it differently and leave these machines in different states. So by using Docker, all they need is one container that has all the updates on, and then they can just spread that container around so everything will always be in the same state, and they don't have to worry about what engineers are going to do on those machines.
Sounds much easier.
And saves time.
Yeah.
Saves worrying.
Here's a fun fact. Containers are very disposable, right? You can spin them up and then kill them very quickly.
Yeah.
So how many days do you think an average container lives for?
A week?
No, less than that. 2.5 days.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's a lot shorter than if you were to use a virtual machine, for instance.
Yes.
I think that's a good thing about the containers is they are very disposable.
I bin off my container once a week, roughly. So because we've got FME server on Docker, it's really useful to be able to get the latest 2018 betas. We use AWS extensively. The technology experts have a load of EC2s as well as development. Nearly every major build of FME desktop or FME server, we've got an EC2 machine. And someone has to go through and update all of those to the latest versions of server. So instead of waiting for that machine to be updated or trying to work out which machine will have that version on that I want, I've just got all those containers on my Mac. So every time a new version comes out of 2018, I'll just bin off my containers and redeploy them. Nice. So I'm always up to date.
Yeah. Yeah, we do use Docker as a way to deploy FME Server since 2016. It makes FME Server compatible on any platform that supports Docker, which is nice.
Yeah.
And then you can define exactly what resources the server has access to. I have some other examples of people who are using containerization. There's more companies than you realize that use it, actually. I was surprised. And people who use it tend to go crazy with it. I saw one guy who said they've spun up more than 600 million containers since adopting Docker. And another guy said 300 million.
That's crazy.
Yeah. PayPal uses it. They used to have 100,000 virtual machines. And now they've, of course, decreased that number because they didn't need virtual machines for all of that. Now they just use containers.
Yep.
And then recently Red Hat announced that it's moving its OpenStack platform to containers. That's their infrastructure as a service, private clouds. GE uses it.
Expedia.
Cornell.
I saw a few universities on the Docker website as customers of Docker.
So we did a workshop yesterday where we installed Docker and set up FME Server 2017 on it. And it was really easy. You just install FME Server by calling a YAML file that our devs configured, and that just sets up everything you need to run FME Server inside a container.
And as well, you can have multiple versions of FME Server running on one machine then. Because
yes.
Typically, if you've got a virtual machine and you install FME Server, you can only have that version of FME Server on it. But with Docker, you can have multiple containers with different versions of FME Server on, as long as they're using different ports. You can have them all on. When you install FME Server, every different component of FME Server that would be a process on a virtual machine is kept in a separate container, so they can't interfere with each other. And that Docker file does all that for you. So you'll see the engines in one container, you'll see the database in one container, the web server, and it'll be split out like that, which makes it really easy to scale engines as well, because if you need more engines, you can just spread those out and install more containers with just the engine on. Actually, what was really interesting in that workshop yesterday was the fact that we got to see how the different departments at Safe use Docker. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize there were so many people using it here.
I know, internally, yeah. Grant talked about how his team started using containers instead of Linux virtual machines. He'll give containers unique names based on their purpose and install a bunch of apps on them and then remove them easily. So he uses them in a very disposable way.
We've already mentioned that one of the benefits of Docker is the fact that you don't need a virtual machine for every different thing that you're running now. So because FME supports so many different formats, and one of those is databases. So we've got SQL databases, Oracle databases, Postgres. And typically we'd want to keep a database on each virtual machine. And then for each of those databases, you've got different versions of those databases. And you can't install all of those on the same machine. So with Docker, it allows us to reduce the number of EC2 machines we've got on Amazon and just have different containers for the different databases and versions. So when they're testing the product, they just need to start the container, test, and then they can stop those containers and start the next ones. Mm-hmm. So it makes it a lot quicker to deploy and cheaper for us as well.
That was our QA team.
It right? was, yeah.
And Don uses it to prototype new technology. That looked like fun.
Yeah.
He wanted to try something quickly and without making a mess of his machine. So he went to the Docker Hub and found a container that has the technology on it. And then he just did 3 Docker commands on his system and he was able to install it and start playing with it right away.
The thing that he was playing with was the Kong API gateway.
Mm-hmm.
So with FME Server, if you want to use the REST API to run jobs or something, you end up with a really long URL, especially if you want to add parameters onto the end of that URL. It's pretty ugly. So if you were going to give that to someone, there's a good chance if they're not copy and pasting it, there's going to be a mistake. And it's just not easy to remember. So using Docker was a really quick and easy way that he could install this Kong API gateway and test it. Just like the FME Hub, you can go on the Docker Hub or Docker Store, and there's so many different applications up there that you can play with. So you can get web map servers, databases, WordPress, Nginx, yeah. Tomcat. There's a lot on there.
And that's one thing that Claude's team did as well with the cloud team. I mean, they take advantage of the isolated self-contained images, but they use all the pre-built tools available on Docker Hub.
I think Docker's also made it easier for the cloud team. So before, the way they would install things, they would have Ruby scripts that would run. And then this was quite complex to set up, and it was using Chef. And they used to have one EC2 machine per Ruby environment that they needed. Now with Docker, I think that's allowed them to reduce the number of machines they used. And it also allows them to have better auto recovery and just use more of the tools available on Docker to make cloud a better product.
And then the FME test suite, that was Jackie. So our test suite takes 3 to 4 hours to run over 10,000 tests. So that team uses Docker containers to execute all the tests in parallel.
They had 20 machines that would run 13,000 tests. And this is, I think, every night. He mentioned that there was more than 80 different services and versions that they need to test against.
Iris uses it for web development.
She's mounted the sort of like web code for FME server. So it's not directly in the container, but it's linked to it. So it's, the container is reading from this folder. So if she wants to make changes to the web UI in FME server, she's just updating this mounted resource and she can see the changes in Docker. So it, she doesn't have to keep waiting for new builds to install them and then develop on. She can just keep testing on what's available. She was saying as well, when they had new staff on the server development team, it would take them 3 to 4 days to set up their machines with all the right pieces that they needed. But now Docker has reduced that time to a few hours.
They don't have to spend so much time configuring.
And asking other people for help. They worked out there was about 5 people involved in getting a new server person set up. And now that's way down.
And then finally, Chris was talking about how he builds the Linux version of FME inside Docker containers. Building FME for Linux has so many dependencies, manual processes, checklists, etc. So making a build environment used to take days and was very prone to human error. And with a Docker file, which is just a script of a bunch of commands that produces an image, you can build it from scratch in minutes and you don't make mistakes because it's all automated.
He would write instructions on how to set up the machine based on his machine. So he would write down a list of all the dependencies that he found that he needed. But when somebody else tries to do that, there's a good chance that those dependencies don't match up with what they need. So the good thing about Docker is that everything the application needs is all wrapped up into one. It's just really good at improving productivity, and it makes people's jobs so much easier.
Thank you for listening. To find resources about this podcast, go to safe.com and in the search bar at the top, type in Docker. I mean, they take advantage of the isolated self-contained images, but they also use a lot of the pre-built tools available.
I'm trying to not rustle the paper.
Sorry. So carefully.